May I speak, and may we all hear in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is at work among us. The two lessons this morning could appear at first reading to be rather naive remembrances of things which may seem impossible, the dead or raised. Most of us may believe this is impossible, but for those people led by Elijah, this was far from unusual. It was noteworthy, yes, but not unusual. From the Gospel of Luke, a similar story from hundreds of years later of a different woman facing the same tragedy of the death of her son. The resonances are clear. But if we simply read these stories as potentially impossible tales from the past, we'll do ourselves and our faith ancestors a disservice. These accounts of these two tragedies have been included in the canon of our scripture because at the heart of them is something about the power of God within the human community. What was uncommon then, as now, is to notice the presence of God in the midst of human life. We have to make an effort. We have to make an effort to note it not after the disasters have been resolved, not just because good has triumphed, not only when there appears resolution and hope, but right in the middle of the disaster, the darkness, those times when it seems resolution is just not possible. In the kernel of both of these readings, I believe there's something about the presence of God. From the first reading, the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, and it is truth." And from St. Luke, they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." The way the people among whom the prophet Elijah worked looked for God in certain ways, and in ways that are not that dissimilar than the first century Palestinians of St. Luke. We have their traditions and their ways, and of course we add our own ways of noticing God. They noticed God through the presence of prophets, kings, and priests, and the law. When they had these, they had God, and they could tell. We see things a bit differently. For example, they looked for healing, for explanations of the origin of the universe, for reasons that people are different, and they found one set of answers or explanations. And so we use theirs, and we rejoice for them, and then we add our own experiences to answering the same questions today. For both Jews and Gentiles who would have heard the story related in our gospel reading, the return of the son to his widowed mother prompted the response, "A great prophet is among us." In the work of prophets, we see the action of God, something which Elijah's people would have recognized immediately. For these, our faith ancestors, sensing the presence of something bigger or deeper or more profound than themselves and what they could rationally explain, meant that God was at work. And we may not necessarily understand the world in this way. When we see people recover from diseases, we put it down to medical care, interventions in surgery or drugs, or some other forms of therapy. We may give God the credit for the human endeavor, invention, and innovation which affects these things, but we do believe that essentially we can understand what's going on. We are far less likely to declare that God is among us. When situations which we know are intractable, long-term illness or disability, chronic recurrent disease, cycles of dysfunction. When these situations resolve themselves, then often we note who may have contributed to it, the action of people, who works or serves heroically, who is courageous in the face of difficulty, who maintains a sunny disposition and just gets on with it. And what we may be less likely to say is the work of God is among us. But what's the difference between our situations and those described in the books of the Kings and St. Luke? The scenarios are different, but the depths of despair are not. Human pain is human pain. One person's pain cannot and mustn't be compared to another's. It is what it is. For the women at the center of our readings this morning, the worst thing that could have happened did happen. And like those people from centuries ago, we also long to know God at work, God in our midst, to know something of the wonder which caused them to declare that God had visited. Like them, we may also see many pointers to God's work and presence, but because the way we see and speak of the world in the 21st century, we may not just see those same signs. For Christian people, the sign is Jesus. Jesus, who is called prophet, priest, and king. In fact, it's a theological explanation for who and how Jesus was and is the Christ. And the threefold order of this ministry is at the heart of how Christians look for the action of God through the work and ministry of the risen Christ. The Christ who is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. How might we know some of that threefold action of Christ, prophet, priest, and king, in the midst of our busy and sometimes messy everydays? In our first reading, we recalled Elijah, the man of God, the prophet. From the gospel reading, Jesus, called a prophet because of what he did, how he brought the presence of God to his people. Jesus mediated the action of God, directed the people to see God's presence among them. And we can remember from other stories of Jesus that sometimes these showings of God's power were so frightening that they begged Jesus to leave, or they even drove him away. The power of Jesus, the prophet, to bring God's presence was so unpredictable that it was frightening. But isn't that what prophets do? We've said this before, but it's worth reminding ourselves that prophets are not predictors of the future, but they are interpreters of the times. This is the sign of God among us, that within the warp and weave of all that we find for ourselves, God is at work, pointing to something beyond the thing itself, beyond the simple to the profound, beyond the bewildering to the peace. The work of God through the prophets then and now is all part of how the risen Christ makes himself known in our midst. For each of us will have something that we yearn to make sense of, to yearn to see the end of, or to be made more bearable. What might contribute to finding life in the midst of anything but life? When we as Christian people declare that Christ is risen, we don't simply mean that he's now busily occupied and therefore inaccessible. We declare that Christ is at work in our midst, prophet, priest, and king. When we yearn to make sense of things, we may be helped by remembering that it's through the work of the risen Christ that we're being served by one who is prophet. The work of prophet, priest, and king is threefold, not three. The work of king is carefully keeping in mind. That was the role of a king for those people. Keeping in mind to look after, to know, to be known, so that we would know that we are not alone or isolated. To be able to remind ourselves of that when we feel that we are. When we recall the action of the risen Christ, we consider that ideal, the careful keeping in mind. Because when we don't feel that we're kept in mind, it's isolating and frightening. When we yearn to make sense of things, we are helped to recall that we are kept in mind. We are called by God by name. At our baptism, called by our name. At our confirmation, the bishop says, God has called you by name and made you his own. This is the action of Christ the King in our midst. We don't need to remind God who we are or to go over old ground. And when we rest in the place of promise that we are called and known by name, we find strength to continue within all the mess, knowing that God also knows. And we know that rescue from difficult situations has never been promised. But what has been promised is that we will be held and carried throughout. When we yearn to make sense of something, we are not doing this in isolation, but in the knowledge of being held and carried. we yearn to make sense of things, as well as being held and known, we need the wisdom which comes from the broadest possible vantage point of seeing the biggest context. And sometimes that helps us make sense of the very small part we see ourselves, but it's that small part which causes us so much difficulty. The work of the risen Christ as prophet in our midst is that which speaks to us through other people, through our circumstances, directly into our hearts. Words of guidance, correction, encouragement, and often all three. And as king and prophet, so too the risen Christ is our priest. He is alive to pray for and with us. The letter to the Hebrews makes this plain. Christ lives to make intercession for us. That is what the risen Christ does. Christ, who is prophet, priest, and king, is it at work in the midst of us, in the middle of all the things that go well, the things that don't go so well, the things we wish would never end, and the things we can't wait to see the back of. Christ is at work in our midst. As this week unfolds, we will participate in all that God has for us. And so we will also seek to see the risen Christ in our midst, to know that we participate in the life of God who holds us, who keeps us in mind, who calls us by name, and has given us the gift of the risen Christ, to hold us and lead us, to speak encouragement and correct us, to pray with us and for us. Christ, prophet, priest, and king, is at work, as he was during the time of Elijah, the time of St. Luke, and in our time today. Amen.